CBS News. Defense Secretary Harold Brown is scheduled to hold a news conference at this hour at the Pentagon on the aborted mission to rescue the U.S. hostages in Iran. I'm Douglas Edwards, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Tehran Radio says American soldiers in the desert area of Tabaz briefly took a busload of Iranians prisoner. Bus passengers are quoted as saying that 400 to 500 Marines were involved in the operation and that the passengers were freed after one of the Marine helicopters exploded and the Marines decided to leave. Iran Radio says the search is underway for Americans in the region. President Carter said this morning that all Americans involved in the operation left the territory. CBS News correspondent Leslie Stahl says a White House official told her there were about 100 men in the rescue team operation in the desert, that they had flown into the area in 8 helicopters. Then she was told a terrible sandstorm developed, and the helicopters did not sink in the mud as originally reported, but 3 of them were disabled, leaving the mission short of the number of helicopters needed for the rescue operation. That's when, the official said, the president decided to abort the mission. 8 Americans were killed and several wounded. There is mixed reaction to the Iran developments. Republican candidate George Bush, speaking in Detroit, had strong support for President Carter.
Let me tell you something. He made a tough decision. You're going to see a lot of people out there second-guessing it. You're going to see some politicians trying to use it to get one up or try to ooch up a point in a percentage in these polls. Not me. I don't believe that. The president made a tough decision.
And a spokesman for Ronald Reagan said there is no comment at this time. Senator Edward Kennedy, President Carter's rival for the Democratic nomination, said this is a time for unity. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, speaking in New York, said he supports President Carter's effort.
I think that the American public now has to show unity. If we start tearing ourselves apart in a debate, I think we're going to risk the hostages. We're going to risk the ability to convince the Iranians that we're determined to get them out. And I think at this moment, I have made my criticisms of the administration over recent weeks, but at this moment we have to stand behind the president.
Kissinger also said the effort might yet speed the release of the hostages. On the other hand, Senator Frank Church, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, says the president ignored the War Powers Act for not consulting Congress in the matter. Independent candidate John Anderson questions the timing of the mission. When word of the aborted operation reached Tehran, thousands of Iranians swarmed around the U.S. embassy. Iranian Foreign Minister Ghatbazadeh said that he has urged those holding the embassy to use restraint. He also said Iran's oil fields and the Persian Gulf would be blown up if the United States plans further military action.
This is George Herman in Washington, where Defense Secretary Brown has begun his news conference. Let's listen to it.
The cancellation of an operation in Iran that was underway to prepare for a rescue of our hostages. The president has already provided the general background. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and I are prepared to add some more detail. Let me say at the outset that we can all be proud of the brave men who undertook this mission. They conducted themselves with skill and courage. And we're filled with sorrow for the 8 men who gave their lives trying to rescue their fellow Americans. Let me give you a brief summary of events before we take your questions. On the late evening and early morning of April 24th and 25th, Iran time, approximately 90 U.S. military personnel, together with the air crews, embarked on an operation to prepare for a rescue of the U.S. citizens held hostage in Iran. The 8 helicopters and associated transport aircraft were en route to a remote landing site 200 miles from Tehran in the Iranian desert that was to be used for refueling. And on that map, we've circled in black roughly the area to which I'm referring. Depending upon the success of that and other steps, a later decision was to have been made as to whether to proceed with the actual rescue attempt. Because we knew the long and arduous trip would tax the capacity of the helicopters, we added redundancy to assure that we could continue if some of them became unusable. Two of the helicopters experienced problems en route. One landed in the desert, and its crew was picked up by another helicopter, which then proceeded forward to the refueling point. The second helicopter had difficulties, reversed course, and landed aboard the carrier Nimitz in the Arabian Sea. Upon arrival at the desert landing site, a third helicopter experienced a severe hydraulic malfunction, which put it out of commission. The operation plan provided for termination of the mission if there were less than six helicopters operational at this point. Therefore, we decided to call off the remainder of the operation and to extract all of the personnel. As the aircraft were preparing to depart, and this, of course, was in complete darkness, a helicopter and a C-130 aircraft collided. Both immediately caught fire. Eight of our men were killed, four others suffered burns. To ensure the safe evacuation of the rest of the party, the commander on the scene directed his men to leave the helicopters and depart on the remaining C-130s. This left behind the four functioning helicopters, the helicopter that had experienced the hydraulic malfunction, and the burning wreckage of one helicopter and one C-130. No Iranian military forces were encountered at any point during the mission. However, approximately 50 Iranian civilians who were passing by in a bus at about the time the first C-130 landed were detained at the site. When the decision was made to terminate the rescue effort, all the civilians were allowed to depart unharmed. As you can see from this description, the mission was complex and difficult. But it was the judgment of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and myself that it was operationally feasible. This judgment was reached after a thorough assessment, which included many practice exercises. Our plan was carefully conceived, and the training was exhaustive. The plan provided for the possibility of terminating the operation because of any difficulties, such as mechanical failure or detection by the Iranians of the mission. The flight to the assembly point and the refueling itself had been carried out with essential success. But, to repeat, we concluded, based on established criteria thoroughly considered earlier, that the number of helicopter failures rendered the chance of subsequent success, reduced that chance to the point that dictated ending the mission. I think you can understand why we felt that we had to try this difficult operation. In our opinion, it represented the best course of action for getting our hostages out of Iran expeditiously. And it was also the course that raised the least risk of harming the Iranian people and the least risk of causing instability in this troubled region. We're disappointed that the mission failed. We're saddened at the loss of our eight fellow Americans. But let no one doubt our resolve, and let no one misunderstand the meaning of these events. We will not rest until we have secured the release of the hostages. I'll take your questions. Yes,
Secretary, the Ayatollah just put out a statement saying that there are 10 Americans that were killed and that there are 10 that are still wandering the desert. Can you confirm or deny any of that?
Yeah, I can deny it, and I do. A number of statements have come out of there, and it's naturally a time of confusion. I have no knowledge of anything of the kind he's talking about.
Dr. Brown,
how could you have secured the release of the hostages without massive bloodshed, given the fact that there are an estimated 150 armed Iranian militants guarding them?
I'm not going to go into the details of any parts of the mission beyond the parts that were actually carried out. I will say that the Joint Chiefs of Staff thoroughly reviewed this. I reviewed it, and the team itself was convinced that that was the part of the mission of which they were most confident.
Secretary, did you fly from Egypt and refuel in Bahrain on your way to this?
We are not going to say anything about other countries. None of the countries, no other government in the entire region was aware of or informed of the prospect of a rescue operation. We relied heavily on our carrier task force, and I'm not going to go beyond that in saying what the operational details were.
Dr. Brown, these troops were U.S. Army, Marines, what units?
The team included individuals from each of the four services in the Defense Department, and I don't want to go beyond that.
Dr. Brown,
they all volunteered for the units that they were in.
Can you explain the circumstances leading up to the collision? Was there any reason for extra urgency in getting off the ground?
I'll ask General Jones to comment on that. He and I have talked about it, but he's been in more direct contact.
We are still examining
the
details and what happened in the crash. It was complete darkness. They had night vision devices, but it was unfortunate on the liftoff. It appeared that the helicopter struck the C-130, and they were both engulfed in flames.
What sort of helicopter was it?
These were RH-53s. They're actually they're the big helicopters. These are used, designed primarily for minesweeping, but they've been adapted for special operations of this kind.
Were there civilians at the time?
Excuse me?
Were there civilians or non-Americans?
This team that I'm talking about was a Defense Department team from all the services.
Why did you call it so close? It seems to be close, 25% air, and then you had to cancel a mission. Why weren't more helicopters put into this?
We had carried out the exercise in practice in the United States in similar or as near similar terrain and circumstances as we could arrange, and had succeeded in having the helicopters operate properly. We believed that we could get by with six, and we could have gotten by with six. Originally, we were planning to start with seven as a spare, with one spare. Because we recognized that operationally this was the most difficult part of the mission, and this particular component, the one that was going to be stressed the most, we added an eighth helicopter before we went ahead. That was really quite considerable spares. It is difficult to get helicopters out there without revealing what was going on, and that was one limit. Even if we'd had more helicopters, I think at some point adding them just adds to the possibility of additional difficulties. I think, you know, in retrospect, one can, of course, speculate what would have happened if there were more. Yes.
Were the helicopters flown in all the way on their own, or were they carried in fixed-wing aircraft, and did they come from the aircraft carriers or from ground base?
The helicopters flew from the carrier, and they had been carried into the area on shipboard.
What carrier? The Nimitz again?
They were aboard the Nimitz.
Who was the officer in charge of preparing and checking for mechanical malfunction on the helicopters? And as I understand, you had eight helicopters and three of them malfunctioned.
No, I said three of them. Three of them were not functioning when after the refueling at the rendezvous point.
Who was responsible for preparing?
Well, I'll take responsibility within the Defense Department. We will, we're examining what happened in detail. This operation was just terminated yesterday, and it is going to be thoroughly and exhaustively considered. I'm not looking for goats.
Could you give us some hours, what time this happened, either our time or their time? Oh. And were the C-130s equipped with the fuel to refuel the...
Yes.
Could you repeat the question, sir?
Well, the question, there are several questions.
This is Defense Secretary Brown at his news conference with the help of the chief of the chairman of the chief
the
of staff, General David Jones.
The C-130s went across the... entered Iranian airspace shortly after dark. The decision to terminate the mission was made at about 4:45 our time. There's a 9.5 hour difference, and you can figure out what that adds up to. It's about 3:15, I guess. There are several more questions contained there, but I guess I've forgotten them. They were. My recollection is that they were on the ground 3 hours altogether. Yes.
Does this failure rule out any further American military efforts?
Well, we're not going to rule out. You know, we're not going to rule out any options any more than we did before. We're going to do everything we possibly can to release the hostages, and we continue to believe that a peaceful solution is the best solution. We had hoped, of course, that we could do this with minimum.
Do you still have a military option?
Yes.
Either before, during, or immediately after the operation?
We informed a broad spectrum of countries immediately after the operation. Actually, it happened after we had extracted our forces, because no one in Iran knew that our forces had been there until after they had been extracted. But we then communicated the facts and indicated that this was a rescue operation and not a military action.
How was the final rescue supposed to be affected, sir?
I've said I will not talk about elements of the operation beyond those that were actually carried out. Yes,
sir. Thomas, when the decision was made to go ahead with the operation?
Well, decision to proceed with this sort of an operation and to get prepare for a rescue, including movement of forces, movement of aircraft, and so on, was made 2 weeks ago. But the actual decision to effect a rescue would not have been made until today.
Secretary, could you help us out on...
Why was this operation undertaken at this time when it, in effect, pulls the rug out from the effort to get Allied sanctions, and can you identify the dead men?
We will identify the dead after their next of kin have been notified, and not before. We expect that will happen today, and then we will make identification. Why did we go ahead now? All diplomatic efforts so far had failed, and this had been going on for 6 months. There was no reason to believe that the hostages would be released at any time in the foreseeable future. Various times had been mentioned, you'll recall, May, June, July, the end of the year, and indefinite. There was a danger posed to the hostages by the deteriorating security situation in Iran. There clearly is armed conflict across the border between Iran and Iraq, for example. There is, as those of you who've watched television lately are aware, considerable disorder in the streets in Iran. We have considered, as you know, such things as interrupting commerce militarily. There are obvious complications with that. It internationalizes the conflict, widens it, and might or might not have the desired effect. The crisis has been heightening tensions in what is already a volatile and vital region. There is a need to resolve that crisis. We need to remove a situation that complicates relationships among friends and allies. And the president and his senior defense advisors, military and civilian, concluded that the rescue operation was a sound and feasible plan. We have considerable concern for the physical and psychological effects on the hostages of prolonged captivity. All these are reasons for going ahead. The question is, why didn't we wait a while? And the answer to that is largely operational. As time goes on in the region, temperature physical temperature, that is, rises, the operations get more difficult, the nights get shorter, and all of that made it necessary to move relatively quickly if we were going to move at all during the next many months. I want to say again that the courage and dedication of the members of this team really deserve, and I know will get, the support and the gratitude. They trained well, they were professional, and they were dedicated. They are dedicated.
Secretary, yes.
The decision to move airplanes and troops forward and prepare for rescue was made 2 weeks ago.
Essentially, the decision that we would make a serious attempt to prepare for rescue was made about then.
Did that decision at that time include the date that you might undertake the
That was going to depend upon weather. It was going to depend upon how fast we could move things. And so there was an earliest date, but not a firm date.
We're having trouble with the question, sir. Could you repeat that?
Well, I think maybe the people who are asking them should ask them more loudly.
To follow up on that, Mr. Secretary, you talked about exercising, planning and preparing for this,
yes,
in desert conditions and such.
Yes.
And yet you've only had 2 weeks. Did this all occur in this 2 week period or prior?
No. The planning and training has been going on since November. The question was, when was the decision made to move forward actively with preparations of this kind that I've mentioned?
Mr. Secretary,
yes,
this operation, with the successful operation carried out by the Germans and Israelis, why can they do it and we can't?
Well, Tehran is not Entebbe. That's one reason. I'm not sure how many of you have flown 500 nautical miles on a helicopter in one trip, but not many people have. It's a difficult task, and no other country, in my judgment, could have attempted anything like this.
Mr. Secretary,
yes.
Could you help me out on this quote by Secretary of Air Force Hans Mark, who said that they looked at this plan you just attempted and, quote, it just wasn't feasible. This is something he said in Biloxi, Mississippi, on April 4th. My question again.
Did he say he looked at this plan we attempted?
Well, he said that.
Please quote it.
The United States considered landing a helicopter at its embassy compound in Tehran to free the American hostages,
yes,
but rejected the idea because it, quote, just wasn't feasible,
mm-hmm,
unquote, in an urban area.
Well, I think that the plan that is described in that quotation would be very difficult. I have not described that plan, and I have not described our plan.
Yes. Who commanded the operation, and where did the training take place?
I don't think we want to identify that yet, but we will be. We will be telling more about some of the people in a little while. The ultimate decisions, as the president said, are his responsibility, and he takes responsibility for them. But the commander of the task force reported to General Jones, who reported to me, who reported to the president. That is the way it was done.
White House last night?
Excuse me?
What was the scene in the White House last night?
A number of people were working very hard, and we were very busy at it.
How many people worldwide were involved in this?
As a rescue operation,
yes,
but it wasn't really. You tried to.
It was not an attack on Iran in any way.
Except that it would have been if you'd gone in, you would have confronted Iranians. You also expressed concern about the tensions in the region. How come you don't see the tensions would not have risen if you didn't confront probably killed?
Well, you know, it is, I think, not fruitful to speculate about how a successful rescue would have affected things in the region. I am convinced that a successful rescue would have affected them favorably.
Secretary, you've said, as I understand it, the planning and training on this has been going on since November.
Yes.
This was ordered by President Carter, this planning and training?
Oh, yes.
I see. This was at the same time you were telling the American people that there would be no military action?
I, again, want to characterize this as a rescue operation, as I would characterize any attempt to rescue hostages. Excuse me, let me try somebody here.
Go ahead. The personnel is described in some reports dressed in some sort of Iranian garb.
No.
Mr. Secretary, did you have any sense that you had been detected by Iranian military forces any time during this mission?
No.
Mr. Secretary, do you have any radio communications between the operation and the White House last night?
There were communications between the task force and the Pentagon. And there were separate communications between the Pentagon and the White House.
How many people were involved on the ground in Iran and how many worldwide? Do you have a figure for us?
Well, as I said, there were the order of 90 in the rescue force. There were perhaps a comparable number of air crews and support personnel involved there. And how many worldwide is a much more difficult question, because you'd have to include all the carrier personnel, although they were not all directly involved, and so on. I think probably several times that number.
Mr. Secretary, does the United States still have a viable military option to get the hostages out?
I am not going to talk about specific options. I'm saying, and I will repeat, that we continue to keep all our options open. We want to settle this peacefully if we possibly can.
Yes. Carry Iranian markings, Mr. Secretary?
No.
How many C-130s were there, sir?
There were six C-130s. Yes.
The Strategic Air Command warned...
Defense Secretary Harold Brown at his news conference in the Pentagon.
No, neither the hostages nor the militants who had captured, who are holding them hostage, were aware. And the Strategic Air Command was not put on higher alert.
Let me
pick one person at a time. Yes.
Can you tell us where the force is located now, where it's fallen back?
No, it has been extracted from Iran, and it is on its way back.
Dr. Brown, did anyone visit this site before the actual landing? Was there a team that went in first?
We knew from photography and other methods that the site was a salt desert, very similar to many areas in the southwestern United States, and some of which the team had practiced, so that we knew it was suitable, and indeed it proved so to be.
There was no advance party, though.
Go ahead. The bodies have not yet been, of the dead, have not yet been returned. During the extraction, it was concluded that the mission would be jeopardized if an attempt had to be made to recover them. But other efforts are being made. Diplomatic efforts are underway. Yes.
Secretary, were any of our NATO allies notified beforehand, and if not, why not?
The secrecy of this mission would have been compromised by informing others about what we were in the process of doing. Secrecy was vital to avoiding alerting of the Iranians to it. And in the event, secrecy was preserved. And it was preserved by confining knowledge to a very, very small group of people, only those who had an absolutely essential part in the preparations, even within the Defense Department. And even they knew only the minimum necessary to carry out their duties. And for that reason, I can't say how many people, because different people knew different numbers. I'm going to take one more question, and then I have to go. Go ahead, sir.
Secretary, how can you say that you are not going to rule out any options no more than you did before, when in fact you have just blown one of your options and you couldn't conceivably attempt it again?
I will just repeat what I said. We have not ruled out any option, and we want still to resolve this as peacefully as we can. Thank you very much.
And that was Defense Secretary Harold Brown at his news conference, and occasionally you heard from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General David Jones. Let me see if I can pick out the main thread from this rather tumultuous news conference. The secretary said that the planning and training for the operation in Iran has been going on since November. A decision to move forward was made 2 weeks ago. He said the helicopters were moved in by ship, the aircraft carrier Nimitz. He said it was the decision of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and myself that this operation was feasible. He said it was not detected by the Iranian military at any time. He said there were 90 men in the rescue force, about the same number in the support and air crew forces. He said the rescue team was convinced from the beginning that the hostages, rescuing the hostages, was the part they were most confident about. And he also said, incidentally, that they were not, the rescuers were not, the supposed rescuers were not in Iranian uniform. And he said repeatedly that he was not going to rule out any option for the future, including military. He also said that the bodies of the 8 dead Americans are not yet returned. It was unfeasible to get them out, I presume, from the burning helicopter. And he said diplomatic efforts are being made to get them back. My colleague, CBS News correspondent Nelson Betton, is at the Pentagon. Nelson?
George, a couple of other things I think that we might point out in what Secretary Brown said. He, in effect, confirmed reports from the Iranian state radio that a busload of some 50 Iranians was stopped and detained by the rescue force when it looked like that the surprise character of the mission would be compromised by them. Those Iranians were released after the decision was made to terminate the mission because, strangely enough, because they had counted on having a minimum of 6 helicopters to pursue the additional part of the mission, and because of accidents and other malfunctions, they were down to 5.
There was a considerable effort on the part of some members of the press to find somebody to blame for this operation.
Yes, and Secretary Brown turned that question away by saying, I'll take the blame for it, and I'll take responsibility for it for the Defense Department, he said, and we're not looking for goats.
The other question, of course, that I suppose everybody was expecting, and I'm sure he was braced for it, was when somebody said, how come the Americans never seem able to rescue anybody the way the Israelis and the West Germans do?
Yeah, that's correct, and he did say, Secretary Brown did point out that Tehran is not Entebbe, the place where the Israeli forces made a dramatic rescue of hostages there.
I suppose we could have done the same thing if the Iranians had been so careless as to leave our hostages on the edge of an airstrip the way they were in Entebbe. Thank you very much, Nelson Betton at the Pentagon. This has been a CBS News special report on Secretary Brown's news conference. I'm George Herman, CBS News.